Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Burgee Board of County Commissioners meeting, February 5th, 2024. And Mr. Watson, if you'd like to do this in the pledge of allegiance.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we bow our heads in humble submission to you. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to address the concerns and opportunities for the citizens of this great county. Lord, give us your blessing. And everything we do be under your will. And let us make great decisions and continue to work to improve the quality of life of the people that we serve. We ask these blessings in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this time we're going to have 3 minute comments. Is there any 3 minute comments from the audience? I believe we have a 3 minute comment from Chairman Jim, is that correct?
I would like to, Chairman Trent, if that's okay. This is Rachel with PETA.
Hey, how are you, Rachel?
I'm under the weather, which is why I'm not there in person. I'm sorry that I can't be there.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, good evening, Chair Trent, Vice Chair Robertson, and Commissioners. My name is Rachel, and I am speaking to you on behalf of PETA and our more than 156,000 members and supporters in North Carolina. On Saturday, January 20, while delivering straw to backyard dogs in Kelford, PETA field workers found several dogs left outside on a property, some tethered, some not, most with inadequate shelter, food, or water. No one currently lives there. The owners are building a house, and instead of taking the dogs with them to wherever they are currently staying, they left them on the empty property. We found very young puppies with just a barrel and a bit of straw, one dog tethered to a wire crate, one dog with what appeared to be a broken leg and no shelter at all, and other dogs wandering on the property with broken tethers as if at one point they had been tethered to something. The temperature that day did not get above 32 degrees, and in the evening, it got down to 23 degrees. The night before, when all of the dogs were outside, it was about 34 degrees. When I called dispatch to report the address, I was told that they had been advised by animal control that no dogs were being picked up because the shelter was too cold to house dogs, and therefore, there was nowhere to put them. That is not acceptable. Animals in the county rely on law enforcement and animal control to protect them, not to leave them to freeze to death outside with frozen water and no shelter, all because the current animal shelter is undeniably outdated and inadequate. And I know that there is movement on the new shelter, and we're very thankful for that. Sheriff deputies did respond. Thank you to Sheriff Ruffin. And we were able to get some of the dogs picked up by the owner. However, two were left behind. I spoke with Skip the following Monday, and I'm waiting to find out what happened to those dogs. And Chair Trent, if I may quickly address your concern of being sued for not enforcing an ordinance, if there was such an ordinance.
Please don't have 3 minutes comments, please.
Okay.
Rubin's comments is to all county commissioners and not to any individual county commissioner. Okay. So if you're going to do 3 minute comments, you speak to the whole board, not just me.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a comment that you had made, but to the entire board, I've worked for PETA for almost 11 years now, and I have been specifically working on the issue of chain dogs for almost all of that time. And I've never seen a locality sued for not enforcing a dog chaining ordinance. In fact, we're finding more and more that are passing tethering bans and implementing standards of care. And there are 37 localities to date in North Carolina that have passed tethering bans. And we are here to help, and we welcome any dialogue on this important issue. And thank you so much.
Well, did I come in?
Yeah, please.
So Rachel, and this could be me. You've been in front of us three times, I think, since I've been on the board.
And yes.
Don't recall anything that you are asking Burton County Commissioners to do or change. You have brought us pictures, you have talked about it, but you've never asked since I have been sitting on this board, like that's two of us, what you're actually asking for, and maybe I'm confused because when I met you the first time at an open house for Peter that I went to, maybe I misunderstood. I thought you were saying you wanted a tabernacle. So now I just want to point this out that you've been to this particular five people three times, and I'm clueless on what you're asking.
Is that Commissioner White?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. I recognize your voice. And I apologize. We have met with several members, most members of the Board of Commissioners and the county manager, and we've sent numerous emails over the past few years about what we think the county, the commissioners should pass, and that is an ordinance banning the unattended chaining of dogs and implementing standards of care, which would be definitions of adequate space and adequate shelter so that law enforcement has tools to protect dogs, which they don't have right now because what Bertie County follows is the state statute, which is very vague and ambiguous and doesn't really offer any kinds of protections for the dogs, the countless dogs who are kept chained or penned outside. And so we would love to see an ordinance passed similar to Halifax, similar to the other 37 localities in North Carolina that have passed tethering bans.
All right, so then this is my last question. Even if we passed a tethering ban today, right, that's still not what your complaint is tonight about us, but because you said in what you're talking about tonight, dogs are not tethered, that you saw them outside. So I guess that's where I'm trying to push back a little bit to say, like, you're saying you want this, but that doesn't fix what you're here for us tonight about.
Well, what the case that I talked about tonight were that most of these dogs are usually tethered. A few of them had broken free, but it's sort of that there are no standards of care that people can leave a wire crate outside for shelter and they can tether a dog to it, or they can leave a dog with no shelter, that the water is frozen. And so there's no ordinance in place that law enforcement can follow and say, hey, the water has to be changed daily. This is a wire crate is not adequate shelter. You can't tether your dog. So it's basic sort of standards of care and duties of ownership that people should follow if they're going to have an animal.
So you mean common sense? Is that what
yeah.
And I yes. said that, I'm not trying to be rude to you, and I'm getting frustrated with it because it almost feels like you're coming here every meeting now just to have a bone to pick with us. Yes, pun intended. But like tonight, I'm saying if we pass your ban tonight, it still doesn't fix why you're here complaining tonight about it. Like the dogs that, and you know, we're trying to build a dog shelter. You know, we have some things in place. So I really am wondering, do you come to bring something to have against the commissioners? Maybe that's what I'm asking.
No, what the reason why that I'm attending all of these meetings is to remind the county commissioners who is out there and who needs their protections. And we see dogs without shelter, without food, without water, emaciated, dead, dying, completely neglected every single day in Bertie County. And the fact is that the county commissioners could change that and could put protections in place that would encourage people, because it's the law, to take better care of their animals. And so my bone isn't to pick with you. I feel like I have a good relationship with almost everybody that I've met, if not all of the county commissioners, but we are at a point where we need you to see who is out there in Bertie County and who really needs your help.
Well, let me jump
out of the work.
Since you're on the subject of a good relationship, I'm just kind of curious, if that's the case, why was there a sign put up somewhere that stated that the county commissioners don't care about the dogs in Bertie County?
No, that's a billboard that says that dogs in Bertie County need your help. And so we are trying to, because I think the Bertie County commissioners, they need to hear from the residents. And so we are urging residents, because we know that so many care about this issue, to join our efforts and to let you know that they do care about this and that they do want to see better protections put in place for dogs who are kept outside.
Some of the things I've been hearing, Rachel, is people really don't like you coming on their properties and walking around their house and things of that nature. They don't like that. And that's what I've been hearing from the people out in the areas. And that's the deal. So that's what I'm hearing.
Rachel, this is Commissioner Wesson, Rachel. You know, there's a very interesting article that John Foley put in the paper concerning the billboard that you were planning to put up. And I think he captured it very, very well. You know, I understand Peter's position, but when we have had dialogue with the residents of this county, they have not given us a clear signal that they want the kind of ordinance that you would like us to put into place because you think it's the right thing to do. You know, when you say there are 36 or 38, you know, locations around the state out of the hundreds of potential, there's a reason for that. So unless we can change state statute, you know, we can't legislate morality in terms of what people do. And maybe the dialogue needs to be with citizens. And that's a dialogue I know I've tried to have with citizens about, if you're going to have an animal, it's your responsibility. You need to take care of it. But our laws are in place to punish people when they don't do something. We need to encourage them to do something. And I think that's maybe where more focus needs to come from Peter, in my opinion.
Thank you, Commissioner Wesson. And, you know, we do address that every single day when we talk to people. And one of the things that these ordinances do is prevent cruelty and neglect because we don't want to get to the point where a dog is dead on a chain, where a dog is emaciated, where the dog has to be euthanized because there is no other option for him or her. And so these ordinances, they also prevent cruelty and suffering.
Richard, Vice Chair Ron Robinson. Good afternoon to you.
Hi.
How you doing? Your group, Peter, is doing a great job. You're in the county, other places too. But at the same token, I think you should give us an opportunity first. You know, right now we're in the middle of building our new animal shelter, which costs thousands of dollars, you know, that could be put other places. You know, then at the same time, there had to be some dialogue with Peter and the Sheriff's Department, because if we threw up an ordinance today and we don't have anyone to police that ordinance, what good is it? You know, so it's not only, you know, you need to be talking to the commission, but the Sheriff has is a very self entity of his own, and they enforce the law. But they don't have manpower, and you know, there should be some dialogue to make sure that they have the manpower to police a policy before a policy is driven. You know, but be patient with the commissions and the sheriff's department, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Vice Chair Robertson. Thank you.
Any other 3 minute comments? There are no more three-minute comments for you. Introduction to the Digital Skills Coordinator Educator, Alicia White, by Dr. Bill Girl.
Greetings, Commissioners, the County Manager of the Phone. We appreciate the chance to come and be before you today. And we're excited to bring you to another position that we've been able to fill for our organization. This Digital Skills Education position is fully funded by NC State. They got a grant through the North Carolina Department of Information Technology. And the purpose of that is to work to help bridge this broadband issue we've got throughout North Carolina. And we'll work primarily working with rural populations, age populations, and populations of limited resources, all of which we fit in Berkeley County. So we were one of about 10 counties to get some funding to help work with this. So we're tickled to bring Alicia White home, and I'm going to let her do an introduction here by herself and the things she's kind of planned.
Good evening. My name is Valencia White, and it feels really, really good to get back here home to Berkeley County and to help my people. We have some really awesome things coming up. I'm partnering right now with the Council of Aging to bring very basic computer skills and also some intermediate to our Asian population. And this is really exciting. We have a mobile computer lab, and we can take it anywhere. Even some of the most remote and rural areas will be served by our computer lab. So, yeah, just give us a call at the extension if you guys want to schedule anything.
Any questions for you guys?
I have one question.
Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah.
What's your plans on getting this information out to the students of the education? Do you have a plan in place where that maybe you can let the public chair the followers and they can get things out to the churches and about supported by the county? But now, you know, when they're doing this, this year is a very rural senior county. Yeah. And, you know, population going to school here has dropped it. That seniors have taken over.
Well, actually, that is my plan. I'm talking with a lot of organizations here in the area, and I'm going to reach out to some churches directly. So those are some things that I'm going to do. Any more questions? Yep.
Not a question, but Valencia, first of all, thank you. Congratulations. I'm glad that you're in the job and that you're from Bertie, and you know that you're that number. And I think you're the perfect kind of person for this job. I gotta tell you, we've been planning, we've only started in the early stages of planning here in North Carolina work session concerning Medicaid expansion. And we had just announced when I called Billy and reserved the place as a joint opportunity between Berkshire County and Washington County. I think I called you, Billy, like one day, and 2 days later, I get a call from Valencia saying, gee, I hear you planning to do something. I've got some skills. I've got some resources. I'd like to jump in and help you. That's exactly the kind of spirit we need here in this county, you know, so we can work together and get things done. So that told me something right off the bat, that you're the kind of person that we need. So thank you, and we look forward to helping you and anybody else.
Thank you.
This is a brand new position, and so it's something that Vinci Vader. We're kind of figuring as we go along. So if y'all have some suggestions or if we reach out to people in the community, the thing that they need, we want to work with some of the youth, and that's a group we're targeting, those that may be graduating, may not have, you know, some computers available, those sorts of things. We're trying to, you know, just see what kind of information we kind of need around. Just give us a shout.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda, the 2024 primary election update, Ms. LaShonda.
Good evening, Commissioners. Good evening, citizens of Berkshire County. On behalf of Direct Appeal with Elections, I would like to provide you all with the 2024 partisan primary election update. The Berkshire County Board of Elections will conduct the 2024 partisan primary election on Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Polls will open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on election day. Early voting will be held at the following locations from Thursday, February 15th, 2024, to Saturday, March 2nd, 2024. Bertie County Board of Elections office located at 210 West Washington Street, Windsor, North Carolina. The date and times will be Thursday, February 15th through Friday, February 16th, 8 o'clock a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday, February 19th to Friday, February 23rd, 8 o'clock a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday, February 26th through Friday, March 1st, 8 o'clock a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Saturday, March 2nd, 8 o'clock a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. And for Powellsville Town Hall, located at 106 East Main Street, Powellsville, North Carolina, the date and time will be as follows. Thursday, February 15th through Friday, February 16th, 8 o'clock a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday, February 19th through Friday, February 23rd, 8 o'clock a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday, February 26th, through Friday, March 1st, 8 o'clock a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Saturday, March 2nd, to 8 o'clock a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. Absentee ballots will be mailed to voters who have requested them beginning January 19th, 2024. The request must be received through the website or by the Bertie Board of Elections by 5 o'clock p.m. February 27, 2024. In the primary election, voters will select nominees for political party to move on to the November 5th general election. In primaries, voters affiliated with the political party will be given a ballot candidate for their party. Unaffiliated voters may choose the ballot candidates for any party primary. The voter registration deadline for this election is 5 o'clock p.m. Friday, February 9th, 2024. And like always stressed by direct appeal, voter photo ID is required for voting. Acceptable IDs include the following: North Carolina driver's license, state ID from the NCDMV, also called non-operator ID, driver's license or non-driver's ID from the state, district of Columbia, or U.S. territory, only if voter registered in North Carolina within 90 days of the election, U.S. passport or U.S. passport card, North Carolina voter voting ID card issued by a county board of elections, college or university student ID approved by the state board of elections, state or local government or charter school employee ID approved by the state board of elections, military or veterans ID card issued by the United States government, tribal enrollment card issued by a tribe recognized by the state or federal government, ID card issued by any agency of the United States government or the state of North Carolina for a public assistance program. And also they have the sample ballots for the Democratic Party primary, the Republican Party primary, and the Libertarian Party primary. And if you have any questions, contact directly with Tori P. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Financial summary by Andrew Finance Director of Davis. Thought
I'd throw a little nostalgia out here. We'll make you this way up. We'll give you green sheets. Talking to him earlier this week and last week, and I told him, listen, yeah, I'm giving him, I usually give him white sheets, but I think I'm going to go ahead and give him a green sheet this time. I'll give you a chance to look at it, but basically, what I want to, the thing I want to bring up to your attention are in terms of property taxes, while they're not at the same level as we've seen at this point last year, they are above the 50% mark that we're looking at, or the 58% mark that we're looking at for the fiscal year. Sales tax are up higher than they were last year, and I want to point out that the fund balance appropriated, before anybody freaks out about that, that was the money that we had already appropriated for DSS that we had to take back in. So that's not additional fund balance taken out, that's money that was already assigned to that. You see total revenues are about 43% of last year, same time. Apparently, I did not put the percentage down, about 53%. So, as far as expenditures, the only three of them that I really want to bring to your attention is higher than normal. Legal is significantly higher than last fiscal year, but there have been a number of issues that our attorneys have had to assist with us this year that have probably caused more than that, but that's something we're going to have to watch out for the rest of the fiscal year. Emergency management is really a misnomer. If we look at it, it's about 71%, but the funds that we provide to the fire department, the fire tax that we actually implemented this year, we forgot to tell Ellen to start charging it to that fund as opposed to the normal fund that we did. So we made some journal entries and that'll be washed out next month. It'll be back down to about 35%. We're just making some general interest to fix that. Our new emergency management director is not like just going haywire. And the medical examiner, it's higher than the 58%. You'll notice last year it was over 80% this time of year. If we continue the way it is, we're going to keep an eye on it. We had to move some money last year in order to offset that budget. We may have to do that again this year, but we'll keep an eye on it. I'm going to tell you, honestly, in looking at this, with about 43% of our revenues are in, 45% of our expenditures are in, I'm comfortable with where we are right now. I can make up that 2% if we need to really fairly quickly without having to do a lot of drastic changes. We'll continue to keep an eye on it, and you'll see the cash. We're in good shape with the banks, the bank accounts. I believe I answered your questions after the last meeting in regards to the CDs. I'm assuming, unless I'm here otherwise, there's no other reason to be made on those. If you'll flip to the back, you'll see the utilities, the water utilities. Our sales are down from the last year. I really believe that has a lot to do with the fact that we had the problems with the billing and we haven't brought all that back up yet. We should be catching up to that soon. We'll keep an eye on that as well. But the good thing I wanted to point out is that the director did a really good job of managing his expenditures during that same time frame. He's kept the expenditures down below 40%, which is really helpful for us in that regard. So, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer. Juan did point out something, and I'll go ahead and bring it up. So you'll notice the interest earned on investments on the first page to 111%. That's good, but you'll notice last year it was 883%. That's because we budgeted $10,000 and we got almost $90,000 in interest on our investments. So it kicked it up part of it, which is why we budgeted $100,000 this year. So it's not a missing type or anything. Just happened to be what it was.
Hey, one real good number I see is that the sales tax here up about 18%. It's a big number for us. Do we take that slightly to continue? The sales tax figure for us up about 18% over prior year, which is good. But do you think that's likely to continue for us? It's a big revenue. Have you seen any consistency in it that's been like Pizza Valley or just relevant?
As long as the economy keeps going well, I guess, you know, we're going. But I know it's also a problem with the way that I think that's just the same. We're not as well as the other things. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Doug. All right, I see we don't have any more involvement, correct? Okay. It's not a good thing. What you guys have on your agenda, so we see one. Approval of budget for the evening report. You know, the report. Are you any questions? Any questions?
Chairman, move to approve.
Have a second, please.
Second.
We have a second by Vice Chair. The first by one. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. C2, approval of the 2024 Bochy Portable Radio Grant Agreement. Are our attorney board over the grant agreement?
Yes,
Thank you, sir. Okay. Everybody moved it over. Any discussion on that?
I'm going to ask the chairman, there's one thing about this grant. It includes not just the straight dollar funds, but also includes funds for the training and for the administration.
Yes, it sure does. Absolutely. All right. I'll entertain a motion, please. That's up.
I'll make a motion and we accept it.
Thanks, sir. Have a second?
Second.
Have a second. Motion, no discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Other items. Discussion agenda D, recreational complex, basketball course, professional proposal update. That's one of you.
Basically, to tell you, we the RFP is written, ready to put out. The submission date will be February the 7th to put it out for bid. Timeline will be receive the proposals by March the 6th, we evaluate them, and bring something back to the commissioners on April the 8th. I have an draft RFP. I did not bring it. I did not publish it because it is a draft RFP and so it goes out and I would prepare it to put it. But if you wish to see it, you can come by my office tomorrow or Wednesday and we'd be glad to share it with you. But Kelly Besson helped me with this one to get pretty good completed and so I'm ready to take that.
What is the amount that we have budgeted for this?
We don't have, I mean, we have the $56,000 that we set aside, but we don't know what it's going to be until
we have 56 in the budget.
That is correct.
Is that all you have on? All right, next thing is the Bochy County location of the governor's office.
Yes. As you all may know,
Bertie County and surrounding counties have now will very soon have a chief public defender who was appointed by Judge Cy Grant and Brenda Branch, and that will be Attorney Conza Ruffin. And so I recently spoke with Attorney Ruffin in regards to her request to have a location for the public defender's office right here in Bertie County. And she has requested to use the sheriff, former sheriff's office, which is also former cooperative extension, which is right next door to us, the courthouse. And I asked her how much space she would need. She said she would need 2 to 3 offices and also a conference space. And so that space is more than adequate for her. She's even open to sharing that space with another, you know, department or organization as the county sees fit. So that place will fit meet her needs. Next step, once she is given the go-ahead to use that space, will be for administrative office of the courts to come in and take a look at wiring, you know, things of that nature. But if there are no concerns, I will move forward with telling Attorney Ruffin that she can utilize that space.
Okay. So, well, I just have a question.
Yes.
So we pay the bills in that space that they're using?
Will we pay it for them?
That is electricity, water.
I will take a look at it, but yes, we very well could. However, I was speaking with Attorney Smith today, who's been advised that we may be able to get some of those going back.
We're required by statute to provide a place, and I emailed back and forth from the later this afternoon. In 78302, it specifically says, I mean, they didn't give you the formula, but it says that the county is entitled to get back part of the court cost of facility fees to help pay for what we're advancing. Now, I'm trying to get you a more solid percentage or something on that. I emailed the person, supposed to know, she said she would talk to her security about it.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we allow Attorney Chief Ruffin for the to utilize Old Shadfield for the public defender office, and as soon as possible, maybe, so that she can contact AOC, so the Office of Administrative Courts, so that they can start doing the wiring and set up for the due business according to the statute. And I share with this citizens of Bertie County, it's no fair. It's not fair for a person that goes to court, needs a public defender, and has to go to Halifax County, Hereford County, Northampton County to speak with their attorney. It's not fair. You know, if they can't afford an attorney, you know they can't afford to travel those distances. You know, so that's, and I have to offer.
I agree with that. That's a motion. Is there a second?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
I just have one question. Do sure. Would we have to have an MOU with them, or since it's the courts, we just let them have it?
I think that's the actual contract.
That's why I was asking, because we're getting ready to vote on something.
Well, what she's asking for, what Judge Grant's asking for, she also called back today, is agree with that, and we'll come up with a direction.
I don't hate it. I don't. I'm just asking.
You're fine.
Basic
generic. I'll
make more questions. Everybody's been in the discussion. But let me say that, Mike, nice you're up. So I think this is a terrific opportunity, not to go to public defender office, but to have it here in Bertie County. But you know, I'm going to rough him rather than in Bertie County. That will bring additional revenue and dollars spent in this county. And she's going to have a number, I think, about 6 attorneys working for her and administrative staff, too. I think going to her swearing in, I think there are about 16 people in the total office. Not all of them here, but have that located here. It's a positive thing for our county. It's going to drive revenue and people coming into the county. So I definitely support.
She's put together a really good statement.
Yes, she has.
Oh, yeah. She's tough, isn't she? She's good.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Second. Thank you. We're in a second already. Yes, we can. We have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Berkeley County Schools need-based grant presentation at Civic Clinic on February 7th, 2024, at 2 p.m. at the Community Center. Everybody's aware of it, correct?
With the community meeting.
Absolutely. That's going to be over the library, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Commissioner's work session, we have it set up at 10 a.m. on the 20th. Okay. We took care of the last meeting as far as getting this set up. Everybody's aware of that. 2024 NACO Legislative Conference, February 10th to the 13th, Washington, D.C. Everybody set, ready to go.
Ready to go.
We signed up for it. Any questions in reference to that? Everybody get all the questions answered. If not, you can give them a shot after the meeting. Be clear. Number six, North Carolina Cooperative Extension, February 2024, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. in community room, of course, the Cooperative Extension Library. Everybody's aware of that, correct?
Yeah, that's not one of the work sessions. Absolutely. The work session is going to be there as well. Actually, no, we're going to have that scheduled for here unless you all would like to change it.
We've got an hour between them. So. The work session is there if you need something to get it. So that's good. All right, it takes care of that. Commissioner's reports. Mr. Robinson.
I like everybody to know that. Them to high school, the athletic field be ready for all fall sports this coming season, and we need to come out and support schools.
Just want to let the citizens know that our work on the teacher housing and that's ahead of schedule. We're planning to have that completed by mid-April, and we are substantially under budget on that bill. So that's a good thing, folks. And we have now, I think, the last count for 24 units. How many, Mike, was the first count? How many folks were interested the first time?
10 units have been spoken for.
10 units already spoken for. We have another couple that are being asked for that the board will address in two new positions who would like to live here in the area, getting close to the hospital. And so we'll consider that. And then we have some new teachers coming in from outside as well. So I think we're in very good shape. Other thing is that we are planning a joint session here about the Medicaid expansion. And it's going to be over at the meeting facility in March. In fact, the date of that is scheduled for March the 19th. Co-hosted by Berkeley County and Washington County for CARES for Carolina, which is expansion of Medicaid and the implementation of that. We have all the agencies that support Medicaid expansion involved in that learning session, and it should be a great opportunity for us. That's going to work. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go next. We got a new company coming to town. The company called me last night. We're looking for housing. They have 50 employees right now. They're trying to find housing for. The company's SSI. PSSI, excuse me. Believe it or not, they're owned by Blackstone Equity Investment Company. It's a $149 billion a year company. Okay. And they're going to be taking over all the maintenance and cleaning and stuff at Purdue. It's a very large contract. They're going to have over 150 employees that are going to be here residing in Berkeley County. That's where they want them to reside. They're specifying West Berkeley County as close as they can be to the project. They're offering comprehensive sanitation services, chemical products, pest management, and intervention solutions for food processing. This particular company is nationwide. They have over 16,000 employees. I think it's a big advancement for what's happening in West Berkeley County with everything's going on over there. I called several people last night. Vice President's going to be in town tomorrow between him and lady that I talked to is just under him. The name's Connie, and we're very surprised and phone call to have that come in with me. That's where you can. Like, well, Mr. White.
I'm good. Thank you.
Mr. Balance?
Yes. Good evening, citizens of Bertie. I'd just like to let everyone know that our lander is making great progress with the dental facility. And the prize is looking good. People are getting excited. People are looking in the mirror, checking the teeth, and they're ready to go. But we're just excited about what's going on in that side of the county. That's going to be good for our county as well as our life. And we're just hoping for more great things to come. Thank you.
All
That was extremely positive news about the firm coming in. Let me suggest that when we submitted for, you were there, we submitted for opportunity to the money that we put into the consortium of counties that put money in. We need to talk to Robin and get this opportunity raised on that level included, because housing, we know that's the key. We are a dying community.
Yep.
We look at the largest population loss in the state. So we have an opportunity like this, a company coming here. We want the employees to live here in the county, not just work here.
Right.
So if we could get with Robin, get that one moved up maybe to the top of the list.
We can. And again, I've already made that phone call to do that. The second thing is they want to set up office space at the Doug Group in the laundromat next door. You get signed enough people, also people come and fill out applications and things of that nature. So this is very positive. Start today, I think she said $17 or $18.50 an hour. It's good overtime, this, that, and the other. So
we want to commit.
Absolutely, we do. And that's what they want. They want them to live there also. Bringing people in, but West Bertie County is exploding right now. Okay. County manager.
I just have one brief update or information for the public and everyone in attendance. On January 23rd, the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners held its District 2 meeting at the Tele Center in Williamson. I attended along with Chairman Trent and Commissioner Wesson. And so counties, officials from Beaufort, Martin, Hertford, and Pitt counties were in attendance. And so a representative from each county provided some of the biggest projects or accomplishments in addition to challenges and also things that are going well that the association are providing. And we have several things to mention. And the association does a good job of taking that feedback and providing resources for us to improve the services that we provide. And so I think it was a very productive meeting. We learned that a lot of the counties have a lot of commonalities, a lot of the same challenges. So it was a good meeting.
Thank you, Kevin. County Attorney's Report.
No.
Right. Public comments, 3 minutes. We have any other 3 minute public comments? We have no public comments.
Mr. Yes, sir. Anything?
I'm sorry.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Yeah, we kept.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry.
Mr. have you attended a CATA meeting?
No, not ever yet.
When you do, come back and share with the board some, give them some updates on some things that are some changes that CATA is doing, so we can, you know, let Susan know with the county.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. No problem. This time, I'd like a motion to go into closed session with the North Carolina General Statutes 143.318, 1A, Section 3, 4, and 6. You have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to go into general session 143.318, 1A, 3, 4, and 6.
Thank you. Commissioner Valentino, second, please.
Second.
We have a second. Commissioner Wesson, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we're back in open session. Okay. Nobody has anything else. We'll attend a motion to close.
I'll make a motion that will be closed.
Thank you. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.